expanse of desert that separated the worksite from the workers' dwellings. No one spoke as they traversed the sandy earth, each lost in his or her own thoughts, until Ryan spoke up, spotting the incoming four-man SEC patrol and hailing them when they were a few hundred yards from the storage tanks. The patrol came within sight under the light of the crescent moon. The patrol also carried lamps and was led by McVee.
Hell, you all look like you've been in a fight.
When Ryan explained what had happened, McVee whistled low.
Shit, that's gonna make a few people drop their load. And that kind of shit will flush out any troublemakers triple fast, because they're going to be way pissed with you.
That's partly the idea. If we're going to fight, then I want to know who.
Fair point, big guy. So you're covering the site now? Well, it was all clear up to half hour past. Trouble is, with only four of us, by the time we've covered one sector, then anything could be happening back where we started. And you ain't got any lamps, either.
Don't want them. With more of us, we can cover more ground and maybe catch anyone unawares. So having no lamps would be a real bonus.
Fair point. You take it easy out there. It's quiet so far, so maybe you've had all your action for one night.
Let's hope so.
Although it crossed Ryan's mind that at least a sabotage attempt may give them some clues as to the perpetrators. When they reached the worksite, it was deathly quiet. But Jack seemed to be concerned about something as they brought their horses to a halt by the storage tanks.
Ryan, something happening.
Ryan had intended to split them into three groups at this point and cover the whole site in a staggered circular route so that anyone trying to avoid one part of the patrol was likely to be picked up by the following group.
No noise, but smell. Not sure. Like gas.
We're at an oil well. I'd be surprised if you couldn't smell fuel of some kind.
Not like this.
He indicated the tanks behind them.
Like gas used on a wag. Like shit belching out behind.
You can smell wag exhaust? But how come the last party missed it? Dark night, it wouldn't be like you couldn't hear a wag out here.
Maybe enough time between them leaving and us arriving to sneak in, especially if it was someone who was familiar with the patrol schedule.
Which makes your idea ever more likely, my dear John Barrymore. An outside saboteur. Intriguing.
Mystifying, more like. Let's get the bastard and find out just what is going on here.
We need to move fast and silent. Leave the horses here and go on foot. Mildred, you and Dean take the pipeline with Doc. He's familiar with it. JB, you and Jack cover the refinery buildings. Christy and me'll take the wellhead. Jack, any idea where the smell comes from?
Not get direction. Just know here.
Okay, let's go. Triple red, people.
The companion set off for the wellhead. Mildred, Doc, and Dean took the route along the pipeline, dividing into three in order to cover every inch thoroughly. In a hoarse whisper, Doc described the manner in which the pipes were laid out, and warned that there was little cover, both for any saboteurs and also for themselves. The three companions each took a different pipe route, knowing that they would all end up at the refinery buildings, which was exactly where Jack and JB were headed, the albino and the armorer moving across the desert floor at a run, crouched low lest they be seen against the horizon. They stayed silent, saving their breath for the run, and their concentration for any signs of activity ahead of them, ignoring what lay behind, as that was in the capable hands of their companions. Christy and Ryan headed toward the derrick, which stood out starkly against the night sky, illuminated even by the dim light of the crescent moon. It was obvious from the sight of it that any attempt to damage higher up the derrick would be seen, the scaffolding and gantry of the construction providing no cover.
Think they're here, lover?
Maybe. What do you reckon?
I can't feel it. I don't think it's here.
Okay, but we keep alert, just in case.
At the base of the derrick, there were enough piles of construction material and a small brick blockhouse containing the derrick valves to provide cover. The duo split up and covered each side of the derrick, finding it clear, until there was only the brick valve housing. It was a large enough building to hide someone, and blowing the valves would cause major damage to the wellhead. Ryan and Christy exchanged glances. Without a word, the one-eyed man went to the door, crouching, while Christy took a covering position. He opened the unlocked door and flung himself to one side of the wall. There was silence. Counting to three, he entered the blockhouse, ready to fire at the slightest sight or sound. There was nothing. It was then that the sound of a wag firing up and blaster fire distracted him. Mildred, Dean, and Doc were also brought up short by the firing and the explosions of the wag engine. They cut short their search and headed toward the source of the sound, the refinery. Jack and JB had reached the refinery in triple-fast time, and each man knew the layout of one of the refinery buildings, as they had each searched one before. Using only eye contact to signal each other, they had opted to take the double building, joined by a covered walkway, as their first target. It had proved to be empty, and it was as they covered the ground to the second block that Jack suddenly stretched out a hand to stay the armorer. In reply to JB's quizzical look, Jack pointed to the open doorway of the block. A shadow darker than the others was moving out of the interior. JB swung his Uzi off his shoulder and clicked to rapid fire. He pointed to the block, indicating that Jack take the building while he followed the shadow. It was as he did this that the shot whistled over their heads, the shadow suddenly bolting for the rear of the building. JB didn't hesitate. He took off at a full run, knowing that he was too far away to waste ammo on blasting at his target. It also registered somewhere in his mind that the shot over their heads sounded to him like a fairly heavy caliber hand blaster, a 44 or 45, but not a 357 Magnum like Jack's. That could be information worth storing for later, but right now he had a quarry to pursue. Jack was also in pursuit of prey. Moving swiftly and close to the ground, the albino approached the open front of the building, using any darker patches of shadow cast by the moon's feeble light to hide himself. His dark camo pants and the patched jacket provided some degree of disguise, but his white mane and pale skin still gave him away. Coming around to the open door, he held his Colt Python blaster in his hand, gripping the butt tightly, with his index finger looped loosely around the trigger. Flattening himself to the outside wall, he ignored the sounds of JB's pursuit and concentrated on what he could smell or hear from within the building. It was almost silent. One sound could be heard. A light ticking noise, barely audible. But he was sure that the building was empty. The warm smell of danger and fear was absent. Jack entered the building, still cautious of any booby traps. Meanwhile, JB was chasing the lone saboteur across the dry earth. The man was tall and rangy, and his long strides carried him faster than JB, despite the armorer's strength and speed. JB cursed under his breath and lifted the Uzi. The movement disturbed his momentum, and he lost more ground. But it didn't worry him. There was no way he could catch up to the saboteur before he gained his wag, which had been parked to the rear of the buildings, leading off into the desert and the ribbon of old road that lay beyond. It was an old jeep, and would be swift across the desert, far swifter than their horses, even if they could have brought them nearer. There was only one course of action that the armorer could take. Dropping to one knee, he steadied the Uzi, using his knee to prop one elbow and take good aim. In the time it took him to do this, the saboteur had clambered into the jeep and fired the engine. He squeezed the trigger as the vehicle leapt into life and began to move across the land. A stream of bullets spitting from the muzzle of the blaster. The jeep was moving away fast, but not so fast that the shells didn't at least strike home. In the dark, the armorer had been trying to take out the rear tires of the vehicle, as he wanted to disable it and question the saboteur if possible. There were flickers of sparks in the darkness as bullets struck the rear of the wag and ricocheted harmlessly into the air. But neither tires nor tank was touched as the wag roared off into the night.
Dark night! Jack!
JB let the Uzi drop. One man may have gotten away, but did Jack need assistance? In the dark and stillness of the building, it took the remarkably honed senses of the albino little time to locate the ticking. It was muted because the source was a small cron attached to a package of Plasex that was hidden beneath a valve leading from one part of the system to another. Take out that valve and the piping system supplying the entire building would collapse from the shockwave, trashing the still not fully restored refining system beyond repair. The light was too dim to see the device fully, so Jack lit one of the lamps that had been left in the building when the day's work had concluded. Turning up the light and positioning it so that no shadow was cast over the immediate area, Jack could see that the device was not booby-trapped and had been hidden only to maximize its impact on the intended target. It was a simple timing device and had been set for 10 minutes to allow the saboteur enough time to make good his escape. JB's voice came from the doorway.
Jack? You okay in here? Bastard got away.
Left gift. Timer. Plasex. Only a few minutes.
The armorer came up to where Jack was crouched.
Want me to take a look?
The albino nodded, and JB knelt in front of the device, while Jack drew back to allow the armorer room to work. He also turned to stop the others from entering, as he could hear them approach. Having met up as they all made their way to the sound of the disturbance, they were clustered just outside the refinery block.
Take cover. Bomb.
Outside, glances were exchanged. Ryan nodded briefly at Jack and motioned the others to move back a little. Inside, the armorer was studying the bomb. He knew more than enough about the construction of timers and bombs to know that this was a crude but effective device. In truth, there was more than enough Plasex to do the job.